what in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us again tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Wednesday, and it is the 5th of January in the year 2005. I wonder if I've said 2004 yet and haven't heard myself. We have Reverend Ted Pike back on with us again this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to remind you first, though, that since December, we are broadcasting only three nights a week, Monday through Wednesday. And on the fourth night, on every Thursday night, Jeffrey Bennett is the guest host for Sweet Liberty. And his broadcasts, by the way, are archived in the Sweet Liberty audio archives on the Thursday night. So this would be the last night of our broadcast this week. I just wanted to make sure to remind you that tomorrow night you will want to tune in to Jeff Bennett. Oh, I wanted to say one more thing. I received calls. In fact, I got another one this evening, not long before the broadcast. People, our listeners, so upset that they aren't able to hear the broadcast. And when our one listener called this evening, she was under the impression that it was something, had something to do with the station itself, with WWCR, and that we should get credits. But folks, when there's jamming or whatever the heck is going on, when that signal is going out and it's a good, strong signal, that is what the responsibility of WWCR is to you, our listeners, to me as the broadcaster. And what was last night, we got a call from Michigan. We got a call from Illinois, and I got a call this evening from Wisconsin. They didn't get a signal at all, but there were people who were picking it up and picking it up loudly and clearly. So I don't know what to do about it, and I don't know if there's a way that if there is local jamming going on, if there is a way that it can be looked into to find out where it's coming from. We just wanted to make sure that you weren't in your mind blaming the station itself for it. Our spiritual message this evening is the same one that we did last evening, and this is from Matthew 25, and in beginning with verse 35. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Verily, I'm skipping down to verse 40 here. Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as if you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. I don't know where I saw that to this today. And it said something about, if we are not at peace, it is because we have not yet learned that we belong to one another. And I like that a lot. This is very relevant. It's relevant regarding our actions, what we do, and it's relevant regarding our inactions, isn't it? And we're going to be talking again tonight about hate crime, and specifically, Ted Pike is going to let us know what's going on with the the people here in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia who were arrested because they were standing at the edge of the street with the bullhorns and signs, and they were protesting the homosexual outing. And boy, I'll tell you, when those homosexuals do their little parades, they are so, it's so really pathetic. They're a pathetic excuse to me of a human being. They look more like animals because of their sexual innuendos and every, that's what, it's almost like that is all that life is to them. And I'm not, I don't know about homosexuality. I don't know if it is possible that somebody is born that way. And if it is true, then I have compassion for that. And it isn't for me to judge. But when we have to, when it is being promoted in the schools, it's perversion. It is perversion. And when it's being promoted in the schools, and when people, as their First Amendment rights, are being actually trampled on because they're protesting these types of obscene public actions, then there's something real wrong. And this is what Ted Pike is going to talk about this evening. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ted, I didn't mean to go on so long.
Well, thank you, Jackie. I think that scripture is very appropriate tonight because
I think
we
it
do
is
have,
too.
We do have Christian brethren who are virtually facing prison as a result of speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ to these homosexuals. And Jesus enjoins us to come to their aid and do it as unto him himself. He identifies so strongly with those who are bearing witness for him. And I would encourage all Christians, all conservatives, all people.
How about just all people, whether they refer to themselves as Christians or whether they may be Muslims or of any, it doesn't really matter because there is one creator and there is one law. Don't you agree with that, Ted? There
well,
is one
I think,
law.
I think, Jackie, I would think that his brethren are those who trust in him. And there are many people who do not want to trust in Jesus, but they want to trust in someone else. And we might disagree with that. But...
Oh, well, actually, you know what I go on? First of all, he said that by their fruits we shall know them.
Uh-huh.
And he also said that anyone who does the will of my Father is my family, my brother, my sister,
yes,
my mother. And if it's a Muslim person who is giving kindness, doing unto others as we would have others do unto them, which is what Jesus taught, then I would say yes. Yes.
Paul talks about those who have who are without the knowledge of the truth, yet because of their conscience do the works of God. And I think
yes,
that certainly could fit into that category. I'm not in a position to judge either way, that the Almighty God can judge who are truly in their hearts trusting in him. But what we have here in Philadelphia today are embattled Christians who are on the front lines of real, old-fashioned persecution of Christianity. We're
wow,
talking about persecution under Nero. We're talking about persecution under the Inquisition. This is medieval persecution,
yes,
where the government is coming out and falsely arresting and falsely imprisoning for 21 hours Christians who are doing nothing more than exercising their free speech rights in a public street, in a public place, in a gathering where it was claimed there were 32,000 homosexuals. Here are 11 Christians on the sidelines, and the police come down and claim that they are causing a riot among the homosexuals.
Yes, and for the sake of our listeners who may not have heard when you were on before, give them a very a brief overview of that, please, Chad.
Yes, what happened was that, as our listeners may be aware, we have been battling the big federal hate bill, the Local Law Enforcement Enhancement Act, ever since, for 4 years practically, but the latest outbreak of that in Congress was on June 15th when the Senate overwhelmingly voted 65-33 in favor of the hate bill, and it was going to the House. We expected it to be approved also by the House, and this would be a vast federal so-called anti-hate bureaucracy giving the federal government the right to enter states' rights in law enforcement anytime they wanted to. And, of course, we do have states' rights protecting local law enforcement from federal intervention, except in certain instances such as jury tampering or voter fraud or that kind of thing. And this huge federal hate bill will create a big brother Orwellian anti-hate bureaucracy in America, which will basically enforce the working federal definition that bias against homosexuality equals hate. And if that hate is coupled together with some kind of a crime, small or great, it becomes a hate crime, a federal offense. Now, that bill was defeated in conference by a minority of Republicans, spunky Republicans out of the House majority leadership, on October 8th. But only 2 days later, which was a Sunday, these Christians were thrown into jail in Philadelphia. I really believe this was the Anti-Defamation League's way of saying to the Christian community, you may have defeated us on the federal level, but watch out, we are going to prosecute Christians according to the state hate laws which we have in place.
Didn't you say that 48 states?
Yes, 48 states. During the 1990s, the ADL, after launching a national model hate laws competition to law students in the United States, adopted what they called a model anti-hate statute.
Yep.
And that was sold to legislatures in 48 out of the 50 states, including Pennsylvania. And probably, if you don't live in Wyoming or Florida, you have an ADL, a hate law or anti-intimidation law in your state, which is very similar to what is indicting these Christians in Pennsylvania.
What do you think stopped it in Wyoming and Florida? Was there an outcry against
it? I don't know the details of that, but you know, it's really interesting. Wyoming has never had a so-called anti-hate law, and one of the reasons why the ADL and the gay lobby claim we need a big federal hate law is they claim without that kind of legislation on the local level, hate crimes laws can never be enforced. But remember, Wyoming is the state of Matthew Shepard and the two young men who beat him to death, and yet in this state without any kind of a hate law, they really threw the book at these two young men, giving them triple life sentences, showing that old-fashioned American justice really works very well, thank you, without a big federal, big brother anti-hate bureaucracy.
And that was a crime, and you know, when you think about it, a hate crime, definition of a crime is when another has been done bodily harm. Or there's a corpus delicti.
Of course.
And
physical evidence. And
this was a crime. Any crime is a hate crime. This is what's so insidious about the use of the word hate with crime, because any crime that abuses another person is hateful.
Yes, it is.
Doesn't matter what color skin or what their sexual propensity is.
Uh-huh. So what we had here was 11 innocent Christians doing nothing but exercising their free speech rights in a huge what's called Outfest. It's touted as the largest homosexual coming out party
Outfest
in the world.
Yes.
The lawyer for the Outfest claims there were 32,000 homosexuals there. 11 stalwart Christians approached from the corner of the event, and they used a bullhorn. That's true, but there's nothing wrong with using a bullhorn. There's rock music going on. There's cars driving through as people come and go to their houses. There's laughing and shouting and everything. And yes, they used a bullhorn, and that was it was claimed that they were using that as a weapon of crime. That's what the prosecution claimed in the preliminary hearing. But actually, I believe the scriptures tell us to cry aloud and lift up your voice. It says that in Isaiah. And I think of Jesus Christ. You know, recently this was on the O'Reilly program, Bill O'Reilly's program, The O'Reilly Factor. And Bill O'Reilly perversely said, I don't think Jesus would ever have used a bullhorn to tell people that they were sinners or they were going to hell. he thought that was way out of line. But the truth of the matter is that I think Jesus would have, because Jesus had such compassion and such a fervent desire to reach and communicate these lost that if he had 32,000 homosexuals in the busy inner city of Philadelphia, I think he would have gladly taken up a bullhorn in order to magnify his message.
Although we know his voice would have carried, don't we?
Well,
maybe he
was soft-spoken. Maybe he didn't have a thundering voice. And a bullhorn is merely a mechanical element to help that. But what we have to make clear here is that whether they used a bullhorn or not, that the fact is that they do have protected speech under the First Amendment. And sometimes that speech may be abrasive. Maybe it's a little bit loud. And maybe it's unflattering. Maybe it's not politically correct. But that's what America is all about, is to protect speech, which might involve tough love and telling us what we might not like to hear.
Yes.
So these Christians were then incarcerated for 21 hours. The preliminary hearing, to sum this up, was held on the 14th of December. And I had hoped, of course, that the prosecution would have given them a tap on the wrist declined to prosecute. Exactly the opposite happened. The district attorney, the judge, the police chief all went after the Christians very aggressively, saying that the words which they had spoken, some of those through a bullhorn, were fighting words. They were words which should not legitimately be protected as free speech. Their point is that fighting words are different from other kinds of words, and fighting words, that is, calling homosexuals sinners and so on, should not be protected under the First Amendment, but should be regarded as hate speech, inciting to riot, and so on. And as a result of this, all of the women of the 11 were let go. An elderly man was let go. A teenager, I believe, was let go. But four of the adult male defendants now are on trial with cumulative charges up to 47 years in prison.
And would you repeat the multiple? Weren't there seven different charges?
Yes, I have them right here. I'll read those.
Felonies.
The list is criminal conspiracy.
That would be a felony.
Which is a felony. Possession of instruments of crime, which is a misdemeanor, and that was the bullhorn. You know, if Michael Markovich, the leader of this group who was using the bullhorn, had taken it and hit a homosexual over the head with
it,
and given him a concussion, that would be assault. That would be an instrument, truly, of crime. But to speak words of love and speak words in scripture verses and to sing hymns through that does not make it an instrument of crime. And then there is reckless endangerment of another person, and which is a misdemeanor. They are claiming that these words were endangering the emotions of the homosexuals, stimulating them to near riot. Ethnic intimidation, which is a felony, which is the state hate law. They claim that Michael Markovich was intimidating homosexuals who are included under the ethnic intimidation protections of the state law. And of course, that protects women, Jews, Hispanics, disabled, and so on, people who have special rights under the hate laws. And then there was riot, which is a felony, rioting or contributing to a riot. And I should mention also that extensive video footage was taken from two different sources during this. There was no sign of the Christians stimulating a riot or the homosexuals even rioting. The homosexuals were impeding, were keeping the Christians from moving. The Christians' rights were the ones who were being infringed upon here.
Yep.
And then there was failure to disperse, which is a misdemeanor. Also is untrue. This video shows them clearly cooperating with the police. It was the police and the homosexuals who were capricious, who were changing their mind, and contradict the police. At first said they could go in and do anything they wanted. Once they got in there, the police told them to move in a certain direction. When they did that, then the police came down with a paddy wagon and arrested them. It has all the marks of a setup, as if long before the gay lobby, the district attorney, and ADL and so on had been wanting to lure these Christians in there to entrap them and lead them to arrest and indictment. And then there was finally disorderly conduct, which is a misdemeanor. No disorderly conduct revealed in the film. And obstructing highways, again, it was the homosexuals who were obstructing the passage of the Christians.
So there were three felonies and four misdemeanors.
Five misdemeanors and three felonies. Yes. Now, one of the interesting developments, I should mention today, January 5th, was the arraignment, and Michael Markovich and the other three defendants had to appear and declare their innocence. I don't think there's anything terribly newsworthy about that, but we are all awaiting the sentence from the judge as to when the actual trial will take place. We presume it will be a jury trial. We presume that unless something intervenes, they will continue to prosecute all of these charges.
Yeah.
And I think they are very, very foolish for doing it, because what's interesting is that gradually this case is getting national attention. The O'Reilly program, of course, went to probably at least a million viewers, and he was pretty rough on the homosexual lawyer there. And actually, the homosexual lawyer are representing the Outfest. He's not representing the prosecution, but the Outfest organization seemed to be in a capitulating mood. He said, oh, we don't want to send these Christians to jail and so on. But, you know, only last week, Michael Markovich was on a popular talk show in Philadelphia, and the talk show host asked the director of the Outfest Festival, he said, well, do you really want to send all 11 of these Christians for 47 years in jail? And the director replied on the air. He says, well, if you do the crime, you got to pay the time. And he was stating very clearly there that it would have well pleased him and probably the homosexual community to see these Christians terribly incarcerated for much of the rest of their lives.
So what do you think was the turnaround? Was it, do you think, largely because of the O'Reilly show?
Well, I think so.
O'Reilly, whatever.
You know, there has been a complete news blackout, and we don't have to tell anybody that. You're not hearing it on Dan Rather. You're not hearing it in your local newspaper. There's been a complete blackout on this case, which is unprecedented in the entirety of American history. And I have been working all summer speaking on many, many talk shows, trying to dramatize the threat of the federal hate law. And then, of course, when the Christians were arrested in Philadelphia, I have taken that cause up very loudly. As a result, I've been getting bookings on very large talk shows all around the country. And what I do is I pass these on to Michael Markovich, and he is able to get on quite a few of them, too, following those bookings and getting his word out. And actually now his lawyer, Brian Falling, is actively soliciting bookings on talk shows and so on. So the word is getting out, and this O'Reilly program, of course, is unprecedented, a national television program. And what was going on in Philadelphia was that they hoped the prosecution, the ADL, who is in back of all of this, had hoped that they could get their indictments, they could have their trial quickly, they could set down a legal precedent in which these Christians were jailed, were found guilty, and then quickly they could make more indictments around the country, filling the court system with new precedents, extending hate laws to include any kind of biblical speech against homosexuality. And instead, now we're getting national attention. And Bill Riley, O'Reilly, was really quite mocking of the homosexual attorney. He said, good grief, you've got 32,000 homosexuals there and only 11 little Christians on the outskirts. Why are you making such a big fuss about this? Why in the world are you trying to have 47 years in prison for these Christians? And so,
and then the guy said, well, we don't really want to see them go to prison.
Yeah, well... Uh-huh. That's political, because only a week before, as I said, the leader of Outfest had said he would be very happy, basically happy to see 47 years. An absurd, absolutely outrageous judgment for what would normally be, at its worst, a case of disorderly conduct.
You know, the thing that concerns me, we used to feel safe if we had a trial, if we were innocent, and we had... enough evidence to prove our innocence, we were going to be found not guilty by a jury of our, quote, peers. But I've been to several times to these jury trials, and the people that are picked as the jurors are totally, they don't have a clue, Chad,
yes,
about what their rights as a juror is,
uh-huh,
are, and the judge will say like this, I will tell you what the crime is,
mm-hmm,
and you, your duty is to decide whether they broke the law or not.
Yes.
And if they broke the law, it's a crime.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's frightening.
Well,
for them.
Yes, obviously the jury system today requires a test as to whether you are so stupid that you have no idea of some popular cause. You've never read a newspaper. You've never heard about that. And people who seem to be illiterate and of a lower mental status seem to be being chosen as jurors.
You know,
and the
something,
same thing could happen here in Philadelphia,
yeah, you know,
under skilled prosecution, especially since this judge seems to be an appointee that was a conservative judge in place to adjudicate this case. He was removed by the powers that be in Philadelphia, and a strongly liberal pro-homosexual judge was put in his place.
Oh, my.
This bodes ill for the Christians. I think it would be the height of foolishness for them to continue now in the face of increasing a public awareness of this case. They hope this could be taken care of in the dark. They did not have any confidence that the Christians and the conservatives would have enough spunk to fight and to stand up for their brethren.
Yeah.
But they're learning the hard way, and I'm on many programs now around the country sounding the alarm, drawing national attention to this.
You know, our governor here, Ed Rendell, is a Talmudic Jew.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'm clear that we are under Talmudic law, and that is why the courts have become so corrupt, because they just interpret however they choose, and they admit or don't admit evidence. And, I mean, they're on the take.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. One of the reasons that they're so in the pockets of the controllers, if you would, Walter Burian explained it to us. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's the man that discovered the comprehensive annual financial reports.
Uh-huh.
They're off-budget financial reports, but they are never included within the budget of the particular government entity, whether it's local, whether it's county, whether it's state, if federal. And basically what it is, they purport that it is a fund for the retirement pensions. But when pushing comes to shoving, when you look at the billions and billions of dollars that are in these funds, in all the counties, all the cities, according to Walter Burian, there is positive like $29 million in total. And basically, this comprehensive annual financial report, the administrators of it are now probably the biggest stockholders in the, so government,
uh-huh,
is controlling the stock market.
Yes.
Okay. What he said is the one thing he noticed is that in at least the ones that he's looked at, the judges, I think after one term on the bench, are given, like in New Jersey, a $5 million pension.
Oh, my.
Now, that's a lot of money,
mm-hmm,
and unless that person in that black robe has a tremendous, very deeply embedded moral fiber, he'll succumb, because if he doesn't, they'll find a way to take the pension from him.
Yes.
So see, they're going to dance to the tune.
Well, one of the events just of today, which is quite amazing, is that the WorldNet Daily,
yeah,
which is a Christian oriented,
no, he is totally dead. Are you talking about WorldNet Daily?
Yes.
Is that Joseph Farah?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, WorldNet Daily is more Jew than it is Christian.
Oh,
I will tell you that.
Well, I'm
totally pro-Israel, no matter what. Yeah, they're okay. Wait, I didn't mean to interrupt. I don't want our listeners misled. Not that you would intentionally, but I know enough about WorldNet Daily to know that they're dancing to the tune also.
Well,
but just a sec, we have to take a break here. So you hold that.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dough.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, people, let me give you my address once again, and then we're going to give you contact information for Ted Pike, our guest this evening, Reverend Ted Pike. He has a couple of videos that are just outstanding. I'm sorry that I don't endorse the Unholy Alliance, but the other two were just, to me, they were phenomenal. But anyway, my address, for those of you who aren't, and think about it, and just don't do it, if you would like to help to keep the broadcast on the air, it is listener-sponsored, and you are part of that. And you are invited, cordially invited, to become part of it by becoming a participating listener. You get to take part in it by helping to sponsor it. Isn't that a wonderful opportunity? My address is P.O. Box 190, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, M-I-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, Pennsylvania, 16936. P.O. Box 190, Millerton, Pennsylvania, 16936. And if you want to reach Reverend Pike, Ted Pike, Ted, I'm very sorry, I'm on a page here tonight and I don't have all my information.
Yes,
so
I can give you that.
Good, let's do that first, the website.
Yes, you can see everything we have on streaming video as far as video documentaries and lots of other articles at www.truthtellers.org. That's truthtellers.org. And as Jackie was saying, we have produced an 80-minute video called Hate Laws.
Oh, that's great.
Criminals of Christians.
Okay, and then you have Why Israel Bleeds.
Uh-huh, Why the Mideast Bleeds.
I mean, Why the Mid, excuse
uh-huh.
me. And what was the one before that, Ted?
Well, I produced a video called The Other Israel, which is sold very widely. And then there's a book called Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma.
Okay.
That's all represented on the website.
Okay.
You can order that online if you would like. And also, this video, Hate Laws Making Criminals of Christians, we've sold thousands of that.
Good.
Very, very instrumental in holding back the big federal hate bill.
Good.
We have been very pleased at how it has raised the public awareness of the deviousness of these laws.
Okay.
And people have gotten in touch with legislators as a result of that. In fact, if you'd like to order that video for your church or conservative organization, whatever, you can just call me directly at 503-631-3808. That's 503-631-3808.
Okay.
The video is $25, and have your credit card handy. I'll fire one off to you.
And that includes shipping and handling?
That's right. That includes
okay.
shipping.
Now, for our listeners, many of our the backbone of this broadcast are our shortwave listeners. Some of them have Internet access. Many of them don't. So what I was wondering, okay, they can call and order it,
uh-huh.
and you'll give them an address.
Yep.
It's easier to do that than giving the whole address on the
sure.
air. And then do you have, like, a brochure that you can send them?
Yes. In fact, anyone who wants to call me or get in touch with me, I have an excellent brochure. We had a brochure that which was sent by the thousands to members of Congress and to state legislators explaining how hate laws have taken away free
Good.
Speech in Canada and so on. That's free. Anybody who wants to call me or write can have
okay.
a free copy of
that. Let me give that number again. Folks, it's 503-631-3808. 503-631-3808. The hate crimes video is great. And what I mentioned this the first time you were on, when I was first watching it, there was a lot of emphasis, of course, being placed on the hate crimes being used to protect homosexuals.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, oh, geez, you know, but the real reason for this, well, it is for homosexuals, too, because that is to totally pollute the minds and morals of people and to destroy our society,
yes.
and is part of the big plan. But the main thing is that it will be ultimately used that nobody could say the J word unless they said, I love the Jews,
mm-hmm.
Without being arrested and possibly imprisoned.
Absolutely.
And you did, and I was so thrilled, well, because you led up to it and you got to it.
Oh, yeah.
And that is, folks, it's really, I would highly recommend the video. And another one, it's a little, actually, it's unsettling to watch, but it is so documented as why the Mideast bleeds. I thought it was excellent, Ted.
Well, thank you.
I know I've done an awful lot of research, and there was stuff in there and statements and quotes and information that were totally new to me. It's
uh-huh.
very, very informative, and as I said, very unsettling because it's so ugly what is happening, but we have to know.
Yes.
We have
well,
to know.
We probably have the largest repository of thinking and articles and products dealing with the hate laws issue and even perhaps the problems in the Middle East available. And anyone who comes to our website can spend a lot of time there. I've been researching and writing and making video productions on this subject, these related subjects now ever since about 1980. And so we have a wealth of information
yeah.
for people who can come.
Yeah. You know something, a thought that I had somewhere during our conversation is that it would be, I would love to all of our Pennsylvania listeners to give a call to their state rep. I'm going to call Matt Baker, our state rep.
Yes.
And ask him, what do you think about this? You know, there's a possibility they're not even being informed about it.
Oh, yeah.
I know that I remember at a time several years back when the U.S. military came in, I believe it was into Pittsburgh, and they were going to do their urban training. And there was such an outcry that they picked up their guns and went home.
Yes.
Well, just very shortly after that, Chuck and I had an appointment to see Matt, and I asked him what he thought about it. And he looked at me so quizzically. I said, Matt, please don't tell me you don't know about this.
Mm-hmm.
No, he hadn't heard a thing about it.
Yeah.
Folks, they keep the state legislators in the dark.
Yes, and Michael Markovich informs me that the papers, even in the cities of Pennsylvania, of Philadelphia, and so on, have been practically silent
yep.
about what is going on, even though this case has attracted international attention.
Right, and I'll just say this very briefly, but there's another situation, which is the vote in Ohio, the presidential election vote. I don't think there's been a peep of it, not a peep of it on any mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so much going on, the effort to bring out actually they're talking about not even accepting in the Congress, not even accepting the electoral votes from Ohio, but that would, because there was such gross vote fraud,
yes.
But it happened all over the country, but Ohio was the swing state. And it's amazing. It really shows you the power of the press.
Oh, absolutely.
When they can black something like this out,
oh, yeah.
and nobody has a clue.
Yeah.
Nobody has a clue. that actually Kerry won that election, and that there is a possibility, may not happen, but they might just pull a little, well, I told our listeners we might get a Christmas surprise and find out that George W. Bush isn't the president. And that would, of course, be to throw the country again into chaos and turmoil. Because it's all, every bit of it is totally planned to the detail and written and directed and produced to do just that.
Well, this case in Philadelphia and nationally with the passage, the attempted passage of the big federal hate bill involving so much of a media blackout is a very powerful reminder that manipulation of the media is not conjecture. It is a tremendous reality. In fact, a talk show friend of mine told me confidentially, he says that he has a friend whom he knew very much earlier in his career who is now a national commentator and a household word practically. And he called him up the other day and said, what are you doing about the hate laws issue? Why aren't you bringing that to the people's attention? And he told my friend, he said, I can't. He says, I have a list which comes down to me from network headquarters of topics which can never be mentioned on the air, and hate laws are among the list of those topics.
Yep.
He said, if I were to mention hate laws or even the huge federal hate bill, which is going through Congress at this very moment, he said, my career would be ruined.
Uh-huh.
Now, you see, that's the nuts and bolts of what's going on in the big media and the government and so on. Just before the break, I mentioned this
WorldNet Daily
article. And it's really quite astonishing. Its title says, U.S. Attorneys Complicit in Arrest of Christians. A source in the Justice Department, it says, claims that homosexual government lawyers advised the Philadelphia police at the OutFest event. And this article claims that homosexual attorneys from the U.S. Justice Department Civil Rights Division not only attended at the OutFest event in Philadelphia in October, but they advised police on the scene who arrested the 11 Christian protesters. And
well,
they have an anonymous source here in the Justice Department who says that even though Brian Falling, who is the American Family Association lawyer who is representing these Christians, has filed a federal lawsuit and is appealing to the Department of Justice for intervention as a result of these false arrests and imprisonment charges and so on, this source says that it's almost useless because there are so many homosexuals, many of them carryovers from those which were appointed in the Clinton years within the Justice Department itself.
That's right.
They are homosexuals who've come from the Justice Department, who march in the gay pride parades, who have advised the police to actually arrest and indict these Christians in Pennsylvania. So this is more example from a major news source of the controversy that's beginning to erupt out of what is happening in Pennsylvania, bringing all of this corruption to the attention of the world.
Wow.
Yeah, he claims, according to this WorldNet Daily article, this source says, 10 and 11% of the attorneys in the Civil Rights Division of the United States Justice Department are homosexuals. And so here you have a tremendous conflict of interest.
Well, you know what? That's what it was like in Germany before Adolf Hitler came into his power. I know that sounds like a shock to you probably, but...
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Under the Weimar Republic... they totally controlled, well, of course, the money masters were there. They controlled the economy. They controlled entertainment. They controlled education, government. And when you read some of the history, the historical books that were written that have been suppressed, you find out that the children there were being bombarded
yes.
with the same type of pornography, Ted,
yes.
that is happening with our children today.
Same way in Hungary under Bela Kun.
There you go. There you
yeah.
go. And
homosexuality.
You know, when we keep getting told about all the book burning that was done,
uh-huh.
and well, what he was doing was burning the pornography.
Yeah, right. And, you know, I can make a prediction out of this. Jackie, I believe that there's going to be a wave of intense hatred against the Jewish people when the people finally realize that the Bnei Berith International, which is the huge Jewish humanitarian, religious, educational organization, who have been promoting these hate laws worldwide and taking away people's freedom of speech in Canada and Sweden and Germany and all around the world, someday it's going to come out how people have lost their freedom of speech as a result of the work of the Bnei Berith International and ADL International. And really, I don't want persecution for the Jewish people, and I do call upon all Jews of good intention to get out of the ADL, get out of the Bnei Berith. You know, back in the Old Testament...
Well, get out of the damn Talmud, for God's sake. Well,
yeah.
they're, you know what? It is true. Well, you know, we talk about the Talmud, but we have to remember that the Old Testament, the first five books, and I guess whichever, it has also been said that the entire Old Testament, but mostly those first five books, it's the basis. It is the Torah, and it's all of the killing and all the slaughter, and everything that is going on today is written up right in that Torah. So what they would have to do, and many Jews have done it, is they have rejected the hateful, quote, religion that they have been born into.
Well, what we have to say is that there's going to have to be a turnaround. You know, the fact of the matter is that every time there is a report in a newspaper of someone objecting to a Christmas tree or a nativity scene or a God in government or Ten Commandments and so on, you look very carefully at the name of the person who is instigating that lawsuit, that even that student or that parent who's objecting to the presence of Christmas cards in the classroom. Folks, almost invariably it will be from a Jewish source, a Jewish student, a Jewish parent, a Jewish lawyer, a Jewish civil liberties organization. Just look at the Ten Commandments getting taken out of the State House in the South in Alabama under George Moore.
Yeah.
You only have to go to Morris D's in the Southern Poverty Law Center. The ACLU has 30% of its national leadership are Jewish. Obviously, the ADL is 100% Jewish. People for the American Way is solidly Jewish under Norman Lear and so on. On and on.
Yeah.
Now, the Jewish people, I just want to say something to the Jewish people. The Jews indulged in this kind of corruption of Christian civilization in Weimar Germany. They indulged it in Hungary under Bela Kun and so on. And what happened in Germany was a terrible backlash, a terrible uprising of real old-fashioned anti-Semitism against the Jews. We do not want that in America. And it's time for Jews and Jewish organizations to back away from divesting Christians of their precious symbols and their precious traditions, traditions and ceremonies which have gone along with the greatness of the United States of America. Back away. The Jewish people need to back away. And as I was mentioning, back in the time when Nebuchadnezzar took the Jews into captivity in about 597 B.C., God spoke through Jeremiah, and he said to his people as they were going into the diaspora, the dispersion, he said, when you come into the nations of the Gentiles, he said, seek their peace and seek their prosperity. Marry and create businesses and plant vineyards and so on, and seek the peace and the prosperity of those nations in which you go.
Who said that?
Yes, that was Jeremiah said.
Yeah.
That was the word
of
the
Lord. Well, that isn't what Jehovah says, though, see.
But anyway, my point is the Jews today and especially in the last century have ignored those wise words to live at peace among the Gentiles, and through Bnei Berith International and ADL International, they are working to break down Christian traditions and symbols and freedom of speech through bringing hate laws not only to the Americas but to Canada, but to European nations and Australia, New Zealand, and so on. This will only result in renewed persecution eventually for the Jewish people.
Yeah, and it's all orchestrated by the elders of Zion. But, you know, I'm sorry to say this, but when you take a look at what they are commanded by Jehovah to do, they believe that they are chosen. They believe that Jehovah is, well, Jehovah is their God. But they are not told by Jehovah to be good neighbors. It might be there in Isaiah. But, you know, when
that's Jeremiah.
Or Jeremiah, whatever. In Deuteronomy, well, in Deuteronomy 7:22, it says, "The Lord thy God will cast out those nations before thee little by little. You may not consume them quickly, lest the beasts of the field increase upon you, but the Lord shall deliver them up before you and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed." And in Deuteronomy 20:16, "But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God gives you for an inheritance, you shall save alive nothing that breathes." And in 26:19 again, "And to make thee high above all nations, which he hath made in praise and in name and in honor, and that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God as he has spoken. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, and if you keep the commandments of the Lord thy God." And then listen to this in Isaiah. "The sons of strangers will build up your walls, and their kings will minister unto you. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had compassion. Your gates shall be open continuously, day and night. They shall not be shut, that men may bring unto you the wealth of the force of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. For that nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted." Now, when you are born into a religion that has a God that says you, and actually there's a place where he says every inch of land that your feet trod on are going to be yours. So
you know, I was just studying this week the city of Jericho and the archaeology of Jericho.
They say there is no Jericho wall.
Well, that is irrefutable as far as I'm concerned. The evidence is there that the Hebrews passed through around 1500 BC and it was burned and so on. But they have found many, many jars, urns in Palestine, each filled with a little baby that was sacrificed in order to keep the sun rising and the rains falling. This was a land of infanticide. It was a land of
sacrifice. Oh, you're saying that they
sacrifice.
Did it. Okay.
You know, we kind of went around on this last time, Jackie, but I think what you're saying here, and I have to disagree with you.
Why? I'm reading it right out of the Old Testament.
Yeah, I know it, but God had a right to establish a base of operations which was cleansed of this kind of terrible idolatry and infanticide and bestiality and all these vices of the ancient
Jehovah
Edomite
himself
cultures.
Was demanding the burnt offerings. Ted, what I am saying is, they are taught. Think about this.
Yeah, well, the
nations
thing,
are going to come to you, and they are going to bring all the force of the Gentiles.
Well,
we are the Gentiles.
These verses have to be spiritually interpreted to a certain extent to say that if you are obedient to me and you are living in righteousness,
he's talking to his chosen people.
Yeah, but. But I think what we have to kind of concentrate on tonight, Jackie, is the fact that the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, has turned upside down every good commandment God ever gave to his people and has set the Jews on a racistic and a revolutionary course for the last two millennia. That had broke out. It broke out in the Bolshevik Revolution, which was entirely orchestrated by Jewish money from New York, Hamburg, London, and so on. It continues to break out in socialist and humanist
activities. Well, it's
activities.
Going to continue. What do you make of this? That nation and kingdom that will not serve you will perish.
Well, that refers to Palestine. You know, also, Jackie, God says that these laws and these commandments...
How about the wealth of the force of the Gentiles?
Yeah, just let me finish my thought. God also clarifies that they are not to take war beyond the boundaries of Palestine. They are not to go into other nations, like up into Lebanon or into India or whatever with their wars, but they were to establish a base of operations there where idolatry was forbidden, even at the point of the sword. And I find that reasonable, because these forces of evil were so pervasive.
Well, when
when
you look in the Bible and you see the land that he promised them, in Israel Shahak's book, it defines the borders in modern-day language as being all of Sinai, a part of northern Egypt, all of Jordan, a large chunk of Saudi Arabia, all of Kuwait, part of Iraq, south of the Euphrates, all of Lebanon, all of Syria, together with a huge part of Turkey and the island of Cyprus, coast to coast. That is what, you see, this is what they say. It's our biblical mandate.
Well,
I'm not sure I would
agree with all of those perimeters.
Look it up in the Old Testament. It's right there.
But
he says from coast to coast.
The fact remains that is still a relatively small part of the world, and if Jesus
Jehovah
Christ
said that every square inch of ground that your feet trod on is going to be yours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're all over the damn world, Ted. They're all over the world.
What I have to say is that modern or rabbinic Judaism is a perversion. It is a racistic perversion of basically benevolent, necessary laws and commandments given in the Old Testament in order to to blaze away through the wilderness of abominations in Canaan land, so that Jesus Christ would have a place to be born, free from infant sacrifice and bestiality, homosexuality, and all of these vices that were surrounding. And if he had to use military means to do that, if he had to be a little rough in a very rough age, I think Jesus and Yahweh had the right to do that in his time. Now, that is an age. The age of the law is past. We live now in an age of grace. We are not taking homosexuals out and slaughtering them in the ravines like they did in the Old Testament. But nevertheless, what we find is that the Jews, having rejected Jesus Christ, the giver of that law, have went off to Babylon. They followed the Pharisees. They created a Babylonian cabalistic system, which is still very alive in its ambitions, having rejected Christ, to bring about a kingdom of Antichrist in the future.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying to the Jewish people today is, withdraw from that, get away from that, dissolve the ADL, dissolve the Nibarith, and try to live at peace among the nations, and you will have peace.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Ted. You know, maybe one day, well, maybe it would never happen, that we could have a conversation and this could make sense to me, because it doesn't make sense to me. And I don't mean it has to be on the air, but it's all...
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the